Blog Talk Radio.
Give it up for the Las Vegas stars, y'all!
This is Alexis Levi on Sports Talk Radio on Sports 101. Today we are talking about coaches, how to be a coach, five keys to being a great basketball coach. And once you're a coach, or once you have that aspiration to be a coach, how do you get from point A to point B? And if your aspiration is to be a pro coach, meaning pro overseas or pro in the NBA, we're at the top of the line, how do I get there? What do I need to do? I have so many people come to me and ask me that question, so I decided to make this show about that. And actually, it's going to be a series. We have today, starting today, and then we have two more shows on coaches. We'll actually be bringing some coaches on that have made it to the pros, giving us some tidbits and some ideas and some, you know, thoughts about what they did and some background secrets that we're going to share with our audience. So I welcome you again today here at Sports Talk Radio. My name is Alexis Levi on Sports 101. Now, the awesome thing about being a coach, you know, there's one thing to sit on the sideline and say I'd like to be a coach, but I want each of you to know what it really takes to be a coach. You know, it's not just all the glitz and glam. It's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of work. There's recruiting. There's things that you'll need to do, you know, prior. And even if you're just trying to get a job, it's not that easy these days to get a job in coaching because it is a sought-after career. One of the things that I wanted to talk about first is five keys to being a great coach. Because if you're going to be a coach, you got to be a great coach. If you're going to be a GM, you're going to be a great GM. If you're going to be a great athlete, you're going to be you want to be a great athlete. And so I wanted to share with you some of the things that I have found that is very, very important in choosing a coach. As you know, my first year I chose George Tarkanian, which is Jerry Tarkanian's son, which is another great coach. I also had Coach Dan Savage, which is another great coach. And so I will share with you some of the things that I saw in them as to the reason why I chose them to work with the stars, and some things that you should look in at yourself. Now, all-star qualities are all-star qualities. And one of the things that to me is the most important, if you've read my book, Alexis Levi from the Boardroom to the Locker Room, if you talk to me any length of time, if you see me at events and things like, you know that sportsmanship is very important to me. When my sons were growing up, one of my son's coaches had, you know, great sportsmanship, and one of them didn't have such good sportsmanship. And so that's very, very important thing. You know, remember basic courtesy and good manners when you're on the road. Use your, you know, practices and games to reinforce these principles, not only to yourself and your assistant coaches, but also to your players, because how you act is how they're going to act. I really realize that. And so that's very, very important. You want to make sure that your players give a firm handshake, eye contact to officials and opposing coaches, as well as the high five to their opposing players. And that's so important to set the pace. Even if you're competitors, even if you're, you know, rebels against each other, you're, you know, the worst competitors ever, you know, you hate each other. When you come to that floor, you definitely need to do that. Now, teamwork is another thing that I wanted to talk to you about. You know, you teach your players that we over me. Is what most often leads to a win. Us instead of, you know, I. And so that's really important. Well, in teaching your players that, you also have to exemplify that in your actions when you're dealing with your players, with your assistant coaches, with your referees. So that's another thing. Positive attitude. Obviously, a positive attitude will get you a lot further than a negative attitude. life is not there, and basketball is worse. We all know that. If any of you have been in basketball for a time period, you've been there, and you're like, the referee is calling, you know, bad calls, or, you know, there's certain things that happen that you just have no control over. But you have to keep a positive attitude. We all can't be the Bobby Knights of the world. There is a Bobby Knight, and he's an awesome coach, but we can't all exemplify that. Playing sports is one of the best ways to practice overcoming adversity and preparing to handle tough times in life. You know, when they're on that court and when they're coaching for however long you're going to coach, whether you're assistant coach or a pro coach, you're exemplifying things that you would exemplify off the court. And so the obvious thing is that, you know, dealing with hard times, you're teaching your players to deal with hard times. If you fall apart, then they're going to fall apart. And if you're teaching them at a young age with youth coaching, then obviously that could, you know, carry through their lives. And other things is respect. You want to get a coach who's respectful. And what will happen is it'll pay it forward. It will come back to you. How a coach interacts with other adults, coaches, parents, and officials will naturally influence the behavior of your players, like I was saying. You got to be mindful of that. You're a role model as a coach, and those kids look up to you. I had coaches that are still, you know, my friends I ran into on the road. My sons have had coaches. And once you make a friend, you make a friend, and you never know who's going to be that person that's going to be hiring you. So it could be a coach that you dealt with, you know, when you were a player. It could be a coach that you dealt with when you, you know, when your child was a player. And you never know who's going to open that door, because today it's all about networking. It's all about knowing. It's not about so much what you know. It's about who you know these days in a lot of different places. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. The philosophy that a coach has. If it's, you know, tread 'em, kill 'em, you know, get rid of everybody and don't, doesn't matter who you hurt, then that's not the philosophy that maybe your program wants to have. You're there to have fun. You're there to teach kids. If you're in a recreational league or an elite traveling league, you're there to be a support and a role model for these kids and their parents. And so if that's the case, and if this is the choice that you've taken as a walk, you have to understand that. Communication is another key. Having a team meeting to start the first practice of the season. Relaying messages over to the parents is very important, because sometimes parents can be a little overwhelming, and we all know, we've all probably been there. I was one of those parents that was overwhelming when my son was in high school. And, you know, but you have to keep that person calm, because they're going to be there at every game. Even if you're coaching in the college leagues, you know, there's still things that are going to be in your way, and you need to understand how to communicate with the family when they come in, how to communicate with the other players, their families when they come in, and just be, you know, a wealth of communication, because the higher you get, obviously you're going to deal with press, and when you're dealing with press, that's what makes your program. Your program is made by the press that it gets, by the sponsors that it gets, by the vendors that come forward, by the alumni that support you. So if you cannot communicate really well, and if you are standoffish or, you know, not very friendly, then that relays down into your program. The other thing is continuing education, always educating yourself. Like right now, we have a program in our Sports for Life program. And our Sports for Life program is a nonprofit program. We focus on doing camps. We focus on dealing with kids. And we have clinics. Well, one of the things that we found where kids were falling dead with heart attacks, that coaches were the key factor in making sure that that kid knew what the signs and symptoms are. That kid knew, and the parent knew what, you know, resources were there for them. That coach is the key. Even though there's athletic directors and administrators, they don't have hands-on with the players and their families like the coach does. So you always want to make sure that you're listening and tuning in to things that are out there that can make you a better coach, can make you a better administrator, can make you a better business person, because this is a business these days. And then looking at your resources out there. You know if you're going to be a coach, if you're a coach now, or if you're going to be a coach, know what that means. And if you're a coach right now, knowing what it takes to get to the next level. You know, one of the good things about social media accesses us to a lot of people. I have so many people, I have millions of people on my LinkedIn, and people hit me and ask me questions and things of that nature. And, of course, through Alexis Levi Sports and Entertainment Group, we do a lot of consulting with coaches that say, you know, I don't know how to do this myself. Let me go to this company and let them be the front runner to introduce me to my next path. And sometimes you need that. Sometimes it's a better situation. Just like an athlete needs an agent. Sometimes a coach that really is serious about going up the ranks needs an agent as well. And so I encourage you to call me at Alexis Levi Sports and Entertainment Group, because we can definitely help you with that. Also, the resources that are out there are, you know, iHoops.com. You read many books, watch videos. You go to the and look up the American Football Coaches Association if you want to be in the football arena. You look up the basketball, National High School Basketball Association, which I'm a part of. I actually am director over the Las Vegas chapter. And you look at these resources, you review them. And what I often do, and some people say this is crazy, but the best thing you can do is look on there and start talking to the staff. Even if you're not a part of the organization yet, the best thing to do is start talking to the person over membership, because that person knows each of the members and each of the people in the colleges. And they can be the one to invite you to an event and get you, you know, kind of communicating with your next boss. The other thing that I want to talk about is practices. You know, when you're a coach, some coaches have a really strenuous practice schedule. But sometimes they have mediocre because they realize that these kids are also going to school. And school is very important. I think when you're a coach, you have to realize that you may love basketball, but you also need to instill that these young men and young ladies are becoming young men and young ladies. And so they also need to think about their future. And if their future is in sports, let them know what opportunities are available. But when you start your practices, let them know that there's the importance of your practice and your team, that there's also the importance of their education and their future. So when you're putting your practice schedules together, put them together thinking this kid has homework they need to get finished with. This kid has a family, so I'm not going to take over all their time where they're not going to be effective. They're going to be effective on the court or on the field, but they're not going to be effective in their schoolwork. I had one of my son's coaches just really put too much on these kids. I mean, they were practicing until 10 o'clock at night. This is college, though. Practicing 10 o'clock at night, and he was at an academic school where they required their academics to be even more important than schooling. And he was telling me kids were falling asleep, studying, and things of that nature. So when you're a coach, just remember those things, because you want to definitely set these young people up for success. Team concepts. Knowing what your team is going to be about, what type of role you're going to play, what type of defense you're going to play, what type of offense you're going to play, you know, how strong are your people, knowing who your team is. One of the things that I did with the Las Vegas Stars, and I really took pride in this, even though I wasn't the coach, I was the one that recruited all the players. And one of the things I did was I made my bench as strong as my first five. And I think you have to do that. Sometimes it's difficult to do that, but I think that being a good coach and looking at the way you structure your system to win, and we actually became a champion, if you structure your system to win, then you'll win. And remember, when you're a coach, you're looking not only for the wins, but you're looking for the good structure, because when you go into a new program, they're going to look at your system and say, you know, what did he do in his last program? Did he take care of the kids? Did he win games? Did he set up a good structure? And so you always want to think of that ahead of time. What I often do is I study. I get out there and I study a lot, because there's so much available on the Internet. And the exciting thing is that if it's available on the Internet, then you know you can go and study. And you can study anytime you want to. Study what other coaches' strategies are. Study the winning coaches. Study Coach K. He's one of the awesome college coaches out there. He's been an Olympian coach. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. Study him, you know, so that you can see what you're doing. And see if, you know, the plays that you're running, if they're plays that are, you know, for the little ones, you know, hey, you can get them started young. Game strategy, keep it simple. Basketball is a simple game. If you're a regular reader of instructional material, like I said, practice drills, things of that nature are always good for kids. I know Sports for Life also puts on camps, and we'd focus on specific things. You know, sometimes the kids just need a different flavor. And so, you know, when you're having your regular practice, things of that nature, if you open up the door for Sports for Life or any other camp folks to come in and run, you know, some plays with your group, they get excited about that because they like change and they see things. And if you get the college kids to come in when they're high school, you know, it's a high school camp, then they're motivated to go to college. When you get the college camp, then you motivate the pros to come in and show them. So that's kind of, you know, a rule of thumb for the things that we do. And just, you know, one of the things that I often say is that, you know, coaching and being in sports is a wonderful thing if you're there for the right reason. You know, you look at some of the ways that, you know, sports has changed, and obviously we know that it's more about the money now than it has been in the past. We know that there's really career opportunity within sports more than it has been in the past. And there's more opportunities depending upon what sport you're going to do. That's the first thing. You got to choose a sport of which sport you would like to be in. And if you choose to work with the AAU, you choose to work with a high school. High schools normally have supplemental contracts. So normally they hire people that are actually school staff and are members of the community to actually work with the kids. And so, you know, you look at that system and you say, okay, this is something I'd want to do. What usually happens is a recommendation from the principal, and there's a vote by the board of directors, and then, of course, that person becomes a coach. Just to let you know, in high school, if you're looking to start there, the pricing or the salaries that you possibly can get, football sometimes is the highest, and it's around $2,400 for the whole season. Sometimes you move into volleyball and tennis and girls' basketball, it's a little bit lower in the $1,400 range. And some of the more affluent states and some of the more affluent schools, like your private schools, they can upwards of pay anywhere from, you know, $30,000 to $50,000 with a 15% increase annually, which is not too bad, you know. And if you get to the school where they focus only on the nine-month schedule, then you have 3 months of time that you can put towards something else that you'd want to do to generate income and or, you know, do camps and things of that nature in the summer. One of the things I also like to do is I like to look at the college sector. You know, in colleges, obviously, there's several different levels. There's your junior college level, and I want to give a resource for you to check, which is the njcaa.org. That'll give you more information about the college and junior college and community colleges and what their requirements are. And you can look under careers to see if any of the schools are hiring. The NAIA is another area, which obviously you can look in, and that also is the next level. It's not as high as the NCAA, but it's, a step up, obviously, from the junior college level. Then you get to the point where you're at the NCAA, CIAA, SIAC, which are some of the southern conferences, and those are also very good to work in, okay? You just have to start where you can. I think sometimes people get to the point where they say, I want to start at the top, but you really, in sports, you have to go through the ranks. You really have to go through the ranks, unless you did something crazy like I did, which was go purchase a franchise. And at that point, I could be the GM and I could do what I needed to do in my own franchise because I owned it. But if you're looking to go through the ranks, one of the things that you want to do is really do your research and understand what's available for you. And one of the things that I was reading this morning and I wanted to share with you is that the primary way to get a coaching job, obviously, is get experience. You're going to go out there and you're going to do the AAU. You're going to do the NCAAs if you can get to that level. You're going to do all that you can to get to where you're trying to go. But one of the things that I thought was really an interesting story is I was looking up just information so I could share it with you, and I was looking up the Miami Heat and their coaching staff and how Pat Riley hired the new coach and what were some of the criteria. Well, interesting thing is I found out that the coach that's at Miami Heat now, which is the youngest coach to ever coach in the NBA, actually started in the video area. He was working in the video department just doing videos for the team. So what does that tell you? That really tells you you have to get in where you fit in. You have to get in, especially if you're getting into the pro ranks. You've got to get in there, take a job in the sports department. If you can't get a coaching job, take a job in the sports department. And then once you take that job in the sports department, the awesome thing is you can move up the ranks. You can, once you get in, they see your personality. They know you're a good person. They know you're around, you know, good around the youth or around the young adults. And then, and only then, should you step forward and try to get to the next level. Now, if you're one of those coaches that's been out there, because I have several of them that I talk to all the time, that have been coaching for years. They've coached their kids' teams. They've coached the AAU. They've went up the ranks. They're now at National High School Basketball Association doing some coaching. They're, you know, they now done, you know, some college coaching. They've even done a few refereeing. They've done everything. And now they're just kind of figuring, okay, where do I go next? Well, obviously, to get in the NBA, it's a little bit more difficult. But one of the things that I want to share with you is Sports Management Worldwide, which is the company that I'm associated with, they have a coaching program. And one of the things that I've noticed is that coaches that actually go through a program that is focused on getting you to the next level in the coaching arena, and you can put that on your resume, get there faster. Okay, and the good thing is that you're showing the system, the school system or the pro system, that you're serious. Once you get an agent and you say, you know, my agent is going to call on these schools because I really want to work in pro sports or I really want to work in college sports, then you know, then again, once again, you're taken serious. I wanted to talk a little bit about today as well. You know, you look at salaries, and when you're looking at a career, you look at it for many reasons. You look at it because I love sports. I love basketball. I love football. I love hockey. I love, you know, tennis, whatever your sport is. But then you look at it and say, is this something I would want to do for a lifetime? And I think that you have to really look at it. You have to really love sports. You have to love the one you choose, because if you're planning on doing it for long term, it may take you a while. As I was stating, the coach in the Miami Heat, he was with the team for 17 years before he became coach, okay? But definitely it's worth it. His salary right now is, you know, upwards of $5 million plus, you know, so that's a good thing. You know, as opposed to some of the lower ones, which I think he was on when he was assistant coach, he was making about maybe very close to $2 million, okay? And, you know, that's a good pay salary. The college ranks, just to give you a little bit of heads up on the salary of those, they actually have some pretty good ranks, too. I was really surprised. I pulled up an article, which I'll probably have on my website later on today or by Monday. My website is www.wix.com/ALSEG1/AlexisLevi. And the reason why I said I want to have it on the site, because I think that anything that we talk about on these shows, I need to have support for you. I need to have, you know, a transcript for you so that you can actually look at what I'm talking about. The highest paid college coaches, obviously University of Kentucky is still at the top of that, and it's John Calipari, and he's making $4 million. Okay, and he's making, that's $133,000 per game. I was laughing this morning, and I was talking to my business associates, and I said, I think I need to go and rethink this thing. Maybe I need to be a coach. But they do make great salaries, and they have a lot of fun. It is a strenuous thing, especially when you get into the NCAA, because they have so many games. And if you win, then you obviously have to go to the championships, but that's the fun part. And of course, coaches also get TV, radio pay, and also endorsements. So I think that, you know, when you're looking at becoming a coach, I at least wanted you to know what you are shooting for. You know, you're not just doing all the hard work for nothing. If you're able to get to a Division III school or you're able to get to a Division II school, those are also great schools to start at, and they're less strenuous. You know, the Division II school has 56 games. It's a 9-month contract. Summers are off. And so you have June through August off, which means you can do some other things there. You have Division III school, which has a maximum 40 games. And that's not including your conference tournament, your games that are in the NCAA, should you make it that far. You know, it's a great way to go. You know, I just always say get in where you can fit in and make your way. Prove to them that you know what you're doing. Prove to them that you know exactly what you can bring to these athletes. And once you have athletes excel through your program, you know, they get to the point where they're MVPs and they're winning championships and they're now going from the program that you have to even better programs, if they're the JC going over to a 4-year, or either if they're going from the 4-year out to the pros, you know, that's a feather on your cap as a coach, because, you know, I will say, as many coaches as I've had in my sports years, you know, I couldn't have got to the next level without them guiding me and directing me. And I think that's so important. Now, one of the things that I also wanted to talk about today is not only salaries, but looking at a couple of things. This particular program, like I said, I forgot to tell you that it's brought to you by Rock and Refuel. And we're actually going to be adding sponsors. We're going to be telling you about different things as we go along. But the good thing is just like any other high school, college, AAU program, Sports for Life, Sports 101 has its sponsors as well. And we have to definitely give them their kudos. They're here supporting us to get this information to you. And we'll be actually putting together a series on coaching and putting it out via DVD. So I just definitely want you to stay tuned and keep listening, because we have so many things to tell you and so many instructions to give. Now, the one thing that I also wanted to talk about is the pros. A lot of times people don't understand what semi-pro means and what the pros means. I guess you'd say the NFL, the national leagues. One of the exciting things that I'm dealing with right now is I'm not only dealing with teams in the U.S., but I'm dealing with teams overseas. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Sometimes people don't want to leave the country to go do coaching, but it's a great opportunity. I have a friend that's a coach for Qatar, and he lives in Atlanta. He comes home for several months, and then he goes back to Qatar and coaches a team, and they actually won a championship for that Qatar Federation. Definitely a great opportunity, getting his name in the bowl, getting his name known out there in the Euro League, getting his name known within the pros is a good thing, because pro is pro. Whether you're pro in the international countries or whether you're pro in the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball arena, it's two different things. Sometimes people think, okay, I really want to go for the top, but you have to go through the ranks to get to the top. And if you have to sacrifice and go overseas just for a little while, get 2 years, just like, you know, when the Players Association, you know, was having their strike, what happened? The players left town and they went overseas to make money, because they still could make millions of dollars over there. The only uncomfortable thing is you're away from your family, unless you can take your family with you. But the good thing is that they treat you like kings and queens over there. You're like the rock stars, like the NBA players are and the NFL players are here over in the States, and they take good care of you. So I always encourage you to continue to look. If you look on EuroLeague.com, you can look on there and kind of see, if you've never looked at that area, look and see what the coaches are doing, look and see what's going on in that area. And once again, like I said, you can always come to Alexis Levi Sports and Entertainment Group, and we can guide you through that process. We don't charge a whole lot for that, but we do charge. But the good thing is that you'll get in front of the people that you need to get in front of. We actually create a plan for you to execute, and we get you overseas. And the good thing is that that's just another opportunity for you. Now, one of the things that happens similarly is the D-League. You hear about the D-League out there, and for those of you that don't know what the D-League is, it's actually a league that the NBA created. The Major League Baseball has their minor leagues, and the NFL has the CFL, AFL, which is Arena Football League, and things of that nature that you could also go and find jobs at. Once again, it's almost like you just have to get in where you can fit in. You have to find your way in that door. And once again, I guess, you know, we're getting down to the last, you know, 2 minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that you understand the best way to do this is through networking. LinkedIn, going through the websites, introducing yourself, going to the associations, going to their events that they have. You know, anytime there's a CIAA conference, anytime there's an NCAA double conference, anytime there's an SAIC conference, you should be there, because what you can do is create business cards that will allow you to network with the coaches. You know, sometimes you will have to intern, you know, and I also say, you know, there's nothing wrong with interning. If you have the time and you can be an intern under a great coach, that's going to take you a long way. It's going to take you a lot further than standing on the sidelines, trying to get in, knocking at that door, the glass door, saying open, 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 and nothing's opening. So the good thing is that if you take the time, you nurture your direction, you nurture your career, you decide which direction you're going, and you decide if you're going all the way up the ladder or if you're going halfway up the ladder, it's going to be a benefit for you as a coach. And once again, just remember to realize that the five keys to being a great basketball coach are all-star qualities, coaching perfectness, communication, continuing education, and just understanding your player and your game strategy. The good thing about this particular series is, as we were talking about earlier, is that we're going to have two coaches coming on within the next two shows, which will be next Saturday and the following Saturday. I'll be interviewing them about their direction, about what was good in their journey, about what was bad in their journey. I also wanted to make sure that you, you know, have an opportunity to ask them questions, so we'll do call-ins next time. And we will just have an opportunity to open that arena, see which direction they went, see the pitfalls before you see the good things about the industry and be able to walk with them. And if any of you listening and any of you that receive this tape are interested in working with Alexis Levi Sports Entertainment Group in this process, or you're interested in finding an internship, I'm definitely willing to assist you with that. And once again, this is Alexis Levi on Sports Talk Radio, Sports 101, just teaching you a few good things about sports and all that it has to offer you. And I thank you for coming to the show today. We'll talk to you soon.